church, before I get started this morning, I have a couple of announcements. The first one is for our beloved Leah Ruth. She is having an estate sale this Friday. Normally I wouldn't mention this from the stage, but it's short order. We just found out about it. And she wants to give the church the opportunity to come in and purchase anything that they would like. If you want more details, see Joyce or contact Bev. Kind of putting you on the spot there, sorry. but let us know, and she will have the estate sale open this Friday at 9 to those that go to South Lake specifically, and then open it up to the rest of the public afterwards. So there is that. The other announcement I want to make is just how much I love our denomination. So every week, and especially in this series, we're talking very much about South Lake, what it means to be a church for the region. But we belong to something much larger. We belong to a denomination. And one of the things that is so absolutely beautiful about the Church in the Nazarene is that we are a missional church and we are a global church. We're larger outside the United States than we actually are inside the United States. And we are constantly involved in things that are happening in the world. And we're going to put up a picture here behind us. We have an immediate need to help those in the Ukraine. Now, that church is from the Ukraine. And I don't know if you can see, but there's no windows in it. There's bullet holes in the building. It's been destroyed. We have Nazarene pastors that are in the Ukraine, and they are working through the Ukraine. I can't tell you who they are, obviously, and that, but they're still very much being pastors for those who have fled the Ukraine and moving into Europe. It is a refugee crisis, and there is an immediate need for supplies. And so you will find in your bulletins a list. And here is what the district is doing. The district has a goal to put together 100 boxes that we are going to send to, as a district, to the Ukraine. We are collecting them from now until April 24th, I believe, is in the last Sunday in April. And that list that's in your bulletins, and if you didn't get a bulletin, we have more lists out at the well. Take it with you. But we desperately, desperately need that. And we're going to put together whatever you supply, and then we're going to take it to the district, and the district is going to make that. That sounds a whole lot better. Did everybody hear me prior to that? Yes, kind of? Okay, sorry. So we need to fill those up. So if you would, please, 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 if you can go shopping this week, buy some of those items and simply bring them to the church, that would be wonderful. So we are gathered here today because it is Baptism Sunday. It is what I like to call the Super Bowl of Sundays for the church. We do this twice a year here. That is our rhythm of church, and it is a special occasion. We are welcoming new people into the church, and it is a day that they're making a formal proclamation that they are part of the church. It is a huge day for celebration. But maybe you're new to the Christian faith. Maybe you're new to South Lake, and you're asking, well, what does baptism mean? Why do we do that? And I want to answer a few questions before I share a message with you. So why do we baptize people? Simply, Jesus commanded it. For weeks, we've been talking about the Great Commission, that if we are to be a church for Lake and Porter County, that the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to baptize people, so that is part of why we do it. It's not an option for the church. It's an obligation that we baptize believers into the faith. So if we're doing that, the question then becomes, is, well, what does it mean to be baptized? And I want to start maybe in a different way of by telling you what it doesn't mean. Baptism is not the washing away of sins. So as we bring people to the baptismal behind me here and we baptize them, it is not an act of saving grace. There's nothing spiritual happening behind me other than somebody formally saying that this is an outward expression of an inward faith, that they are saying, this is what I believe in and I want to announce that to the world. We hold that as sacred. We have two sacraments in the Church of the Nazarene. We have communion and baptism. And today we are enjoying and being blessed with the sacrament of baptism. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, what is it? Well, very simply, it's a confession of faith. What we're saying when we baptize somebody is that Christ died for us. It's very fitting that this cross is here. So we are in the season of Lent, and we have placed this cross here as a reminder, as a time of reflection throughout this entire season of what is coming. The cross isn't standing up. It's not ready to receive the person that will be crucified on it just yet. It's anticipating this horrible death that's coming, and so we have it laying here. It's a time for us to ponder, what does Christianity mean? What does our faith mean? And in today, in particular, when we baptize somebody, what are they saying and what are they recognizing in their own faith? Part of that confession is that Christ died for us. He died on a cross, very similar to this. And then we'll celebrate on Easter Sunday that he rose from the grave. And we say, he is risen. And the response is, he is risen indeed. And that is an affirmation of our faith that Christ died on the cross, was buried, and now is resurrected and has ascended to heaven. So it is a confession of our faith. It is also an illustration of a great truth that we often don't talk about in the church, that we as Christians are in union with Christ. In our old life, we were dead to sin, very much so. So when we lay an individual down in the water behind us, it is like they're being laid down in a grave worthy of the death of a sinful life. Now that may seem harsh when we say things like that, but we need a reality check. Christ calls us to be holy, and if we're sinful people, we are not holy. This is why this day is such a great celebration, because it is a contrast, a stark contrast of who we are. We are moving from a sinful person, and we will lay that individual down in the water. And they go down voluntarily, proclaiming that they are putting their old sinful life to death. And then, just as Christ rose from the grave and conquered death, we will lift these individuals up out of the water. This action signifies a new life, one that is alive in Christ, one that celebrates and proclaims the faith in Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you are to be noisy, joyful, make a joyful noise, that you are to applaud and holler and celebrate this new life that these individuals are embarking upon. It is also an illustration to the world. It is a statement to the world that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I believe in him. That's what these individuals are saying, and I want everyone to hear this. It's a bold statement. It's a radical statement. It's one that goes against culture. It says, this is who I believe in. It's controversial, and it is not welcome in the world. But it's welcome here. In fact, we want you to shout it here. So those that are being baptized today, make no mistake about it, church. They are strong and courageous individuals. They are brave. They are making a public announcement that this is who I believe in. They're saying to the world, watch me. I love that. We often don't think about that in baptism. But what it is, it's saying, watch me. This is my faith. See how it has transformed me. Watch me. Watch how I change and grow. Watch the old me die. Watch the old me pass away. Watch me. That is how we should move forward in our faith. And it is, lastly, an affirmation. That baptism is an affirmation of loyal obedience to God. All of Scripture points us to who our Savior is and how we are to respond to Him. This baptism signifies a new life, one that is required to be obedient. We're not called to be casual Christians. We're called to build an army. We're called to impact the world around us through our faith. It is something that we live out, something that is alive and active. And so this morning, these baptisms are an affirmation of the mission that they are embarking upon. I want to share with you this morning what I consider one of the most beautiful baptisms in Scripture. It's a simple baptism, but one that teaches us so very much. Luke records this baptism in the book of Acts. It comes from Acts 8, beginning in verse 25. We find here the disciples. They are out preaching and teaching, and they're moving from city to city. In verse 25, we enter into that context. Luke writes, "So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they being the disciples, started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." Notice that. Jews preaching to the Samaritans. Already we have a problem. We have those that are of different culture preaching to another culture. In truth, in that day, they're preaching to a culture they shouldn't have been associating with. Yet the gospel says, go and make disciples of all nations. Verse 26, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. So he got up and he went. Just pause there for a second. Look at the obedience of Philip. You were to go. The Holy Spirit is saying, go. You have something to do, and here's where I want you. Go. And Philip is obedient. He goes. "And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah." So you need a little bit of history here. We're in the ancient world. There are no Bibles. The Bible hasn't even been created yet. All they have are scrolls from the Old Testament. And they carry these scrolls. Now, here's the thing. Only the wealthy would have had these scrolls. They take an incredible amount of work to put together. They're very costly. And only the wealthiest of families have them. And oftentimes, they only have but a few scrolls. They don't have a whole library. So unlike you and me who have the ability, being blessed with technology, that not only can we pull up a Bible, but we can decide what translation we want to read it in today, they had to rely on people of wealth to share that knowledge with them. And so this queen, who has probably sent this eunuch, part of the task is gather wisdom. Tell me more about this faith that we hear about in Israel. And he purchases at great cost the scroll of Isaiah. And it says that he was reading it. In verse 29, "Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? and he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is so important that you see these little things that are happening in this story. Look at how the eunuch is reading it. And he openly admits, I don't know what this thing means. I don't. How could I unless somebody teaches me? You see, he's actively seeking truth. That's part of being a believer. It's part that we never let go of. If you think you know everything about Scripture or of God, guess what? You're on dangerous ground. You don't. We will never learn enough. We will never know enough in our journey from the time we say yes to this faith until the time we're called to eternity should be one that is always walking and seeking as eagerly as this eunuch. And then, verse 32, now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? The eunuch is very smart. He's asking a very important question. Wait a minute. This prophet Isaiah, is he writing this of himself? Or is there somebody else greater? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? Look at, see, there's little things that are just implied here the whole way that if we don't pause, we're missing. Somewhere along the way, Philip not only shared the gospel with him, but he said, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to be baptized. How else would the eunuch know that he had to be baptized? And he wants to. He wants to be called a Christian. And then Philip says some important things. He says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's your confession of faith. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. That is such a beautiful story. Look at the faith of the eunuch and the simplicity of the conversation. The eunuch gets this scroll and he's reading it and he's struggling with it. And Philip comes along. Does Philip just randomly happen there? No. Scripture says the Holy Spirit sent him there. So Philip knows he's got a job to do. So Philip is looking. We talked about looking for opportunities. Philip is doing that right here. He goes, that guy's reading a scroll. You know what you're reading? And the eunuch goes, nope. I love that. How simple. No, it's just truth. I don't get it. So Philip gets up on the chariot, and he starts teaching him. And it says he preached Jesus to him. He shared the gospel. And somewhere along the way, Philip says, we got to baptize you at some point. As they're going along the road, there's water. And the eunuch goes, look, water. It can't get any simpler than that. Hey, there's some water. It doesn't say, is that a puddle? Is that a pond? We don't know. It doesn't make a difference. It's just water. And we're going to take you down in there and baptize you. I want to be baptized. That is the beauty of this story. It is a confession of faith. It's an illustration of a great truth. And it is an affirmation of a loyal and obedience. That in a short time, in just the course of a chariot ride, that the eunuch gets it. He goes, I need to do what you're telling me, and I want to live that out fully. And he engages with Philip. So what is baptism? Simply stated, baptism is the Father's pledge to us and the visible sign and seal of water of our incorporation into the death and resurrection of Christ, the cleansing of our sins, and our inclusion into Christ's body, which is the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a Trinitarian event, and it is something to hold sacred. The early church fathers understood this. And because of that, they wrote the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to recite that this morning. Now, the Apostles' Creed was written because when believers would be baptized, in that day, different priests, different pastors, different bishops, depending on where you were, they would have you say something. And as these individuals came together, they realized they're saying different things. So they held a council. And in this council, they say, we're going to write a statement of faith that is universal, regardless where you are geographically in the world, when you are, meaning historically, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what culture you are. None of that matters. What matters is your faith, and you're going to proclaim that. And they wrote the Apostles' Creed. And we're going to read that together. Would you please rise with me? This is a sacred day. And we're going to say this together. We're going to show reverence to our Lord. And they're going to put it up here on the screen. And I'm going to lead us off, and we're going to read this together. Here we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy United Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Notice how that so beautifully encapsulated, summarizes our faith. And that is what these individuals who are being baptized this morning are going to affirm. So we're going to go in back. We're going to get ready to be baptized. The worship team is going to sing a song. And I want to remind you of this. When we bring those individuals up out of the water, I want you to make noise. I want you to celebrate with them. This is an important day for them. And I want them to feel the love of the family that is called South Lake. Can we do that, church? All right, we'll see you in just a few minutes.
This is a testimony of Linda Hughley. I have always had a love for the Lord ever since I was a child, thanks to my mom, who instilled that in me. When I was younger, I would go to church, sing in the choir, and I also got baptized. As I got older, I still went to church, but I felt like I was slowly pulling away from Him. I was more concerned about working, going to school, and having fun, which are not bad things, but you have to put Him first, and then everything else will fall into place. Now I'm realizing that I am able to do all things because of Him. Now that I am older, I look back at my life up until now and realize that God has really been there for me in so many ways. I realized I had to make it right with God and accept Him as my Savior. I always felt I had a void in my life. Not accepting Christ as my Savior was the void. My mom asked me if I wanted to join the life group. And of course, I was hesitant about joining. What if they ask me something about the Bible and I don't know the answer? That would be embarrassing. It was nothing like that. They welcomed me and my mom with open arms. I am so blessed that I did.
Once I joined the life group, I learned so much from the ladies in my group in such a short period of time. So much knowledge and love for the Lord in that room, it was worth going to. I want to thank my mom, of course, Joyce, Beverly, Linda, Leah Ruth, Marvella, Wanda, Joanne, and Charlene, for showing me God's love and being there for me in prayer. Getting baptized and accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior would make me whole and fill that void I have been feeling for a while. There's nothing wrong with starting over. As long as you are dedicated and truly love the Lord, all things are possible. I know I would not have made it in life this far without His love and protection. Today, I will be beginning, will be a new beginning for me and my life, and I can't wait for this journey.
Linda Denise Hewley, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes, I will.
And do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that He saves you now?
Yes, I do.
And as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow Him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor?
Yes, I will.
Linda, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is the testimony of Andy Mason. Before God, I was lost. I suffered abuse growing up and used drugs and alcohol at the age of 13 to put a bandage over it. I wondered what my purpose was in life. I first heard of Christ when I was younger from my grandparents. I tried different churches with them, but my grandfather was influential in helping me learn more about God with his great guidance as a Christ follower himself. In my 20s, God was trying to get my attention by giving me a wake-up in the form of 2 heart attacks and 2 minor strokes, but I didn't listen. I strayed from God until my son was born in 2019. God gave me a new outlook on life when Bo was born. God showed me I have a purpose and a reason to live. I decided to get saved on November 24th, 2021, because I realized God was missing in my life. God was instrumental at putting different people in my life who led me to getting saved. This decision has made a difference in my life by giving me a purpose, a new outlook on life, and a great path to be at home with God every day. I want to be a great example for my son to show him how to follow Christ, and by showing him how God has changed my life for the better.
Andy, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
And do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that He saves you now?
Yes.
And as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow Him all the days of your life, growing in grace and the love of God and neighbor?
Yes.
Andrew Stephen Mason, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is the testimony of Marty Worth. I was baptized once before when I was in high school. I enlisted in the service and slowly drifted away from the church. Even though my faith was still there, I prayed, but did not talk to Jesus like I should. I felt lost. As the years went by, after the passing of my late wife, my life was empty. That's when Jesus answered my prayers, and my sister-in-law invited me to Southlake. Through many sermons and prayers, I found that Jesus was with me all the time. I feel closer to Jesus now than I ever have. He has opened my eyes to so many things and has brought a very special person into my life. I am happy now, and my life has purpose. I know that Jesus is always here helping and guiding me through life.
Marty, will you be baptized into this faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed?
Yes.
And do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now?
Yes.
And as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, will you follow him all the days of your life, growing in grace and in love of God and neighbor?
Yes.
Martin Dean Worth, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Baptism Sunday is an amazing Sunday. It is a day that we celebrate, we rejoice in believers saying, I want to be baptized. And there's something else that we recognize, that sometimes, for various reasons, maybe in our sin, maybe out of bashfulness, we know we need to be baptized, but we haven't. Or maybe we were baptized as an infant and we never really made this faith our own. It was something that was our parents. Or maybe even we were baptized many, many years ago, but we walked away from God and we want to rededicate our lives. If you sense the Holy Spirit moving in you, if you sense the Spirit of God saying, you know what, you need to get into that water, I want to make you clean. I want you to recognize who I am, and I want you to live with me each and every day. If you sense that, what I want you to do is just get up and walk over here to these doors on the side of the sanctuary, and Maggie will meet you over there. We're going to give you an opportunity. The worship team is going to play a song here. And at the end of that song, we're either going to baptize some people or we're going to close this service. Church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you please rise and hold out your hands like this? Southlake, this morning, we entered a journey. We communed with millions and millions that have gone before us to say that we believe in Jesus Christ and we want to celebrate that. You have been blessed by witnessing individuals commit their lives to their Lord and Savior. It's a beautiful day. This morning, when you see them, you tell them how much you love them and how much you're excited for them in their journey. You bless them by being the hands and feet of Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you next week.